Oh, that's okay. Good morning. We are the third week learning the 14th chapter in Sefer Shmuel. We are on page 86. We're going to begin on Pasuk of Daled, verse 24. At this point, on page 86, on verse 24, Pasuk of Daled, we saw how Yonasan went against all odds with just one other person, being able to infiltrate and enter into the Plishtim, the Philistines' army, and to be able to cause a tremendous ruckus, so much so that they began killing one another. The Plishtim were killing one another, and a lot of the people, the Jewish people who were hiding, at this point, they looked at this as an opportune time to be able to come out of their hiding, out of their caves, out of their wherever they were hiding, and to be able to join in the pursuit of battle against the Plishtim. So much so that the king, Shaul, said the following Shvuah, the following oath. Pasuk of Daled, verse 24. V'ish Yisrael, third line from the top of page 86. Nigash b'yom hahu. And the people of Israel, they came close on this day. They gathered together. V'yoel Shaul es'am le'mor. And Shaul said the following Yoel, as we concluded, said it had to do with the language of an oath. He made everyone accept his words, which are as follows. Arur ha'ish, cursed be the person, and you have to listen to the wording over here of this verse, asher yochal lechem, any person in our army who eats, and it says eats, bread out of Erev until the evening. I do not want anyone stopping. I do not want anyone eating. Rather, I want v'nikamti mi'oivai. I want to be able to seek revenge against our adversaries, against the Plishtim, v'lotam kol am lochem. And no one among the nation tasted any bread. So we're going to go back to this pasuk in a moment. But if we look toward the bottom of the page, the words of the Radak. The Radak tells us, based on the words, Asher yochal lechem ad ha'arev, that a person should not eat bread the entire day. Don't eat anything. Now, the question is, maybe it says you just can't eat bread, but perhaps a little bit of sushi or a hot dog would be all right, without the bun, right? Maybe he was on a carb-free diet. So the Radak says, no, doesn't mean lechem as we know it. It means shumachel, any type of food. Ratzalaymer ki lechem kolil kolmeichel. When he says bread, it means something which sustains you, which means any type of food. You're not allowed to eat anything. Ki afilu hadavash, even honey. You're not even allowed to have any honey, something sweet in your mouth to eat because of this oath. Near it appears, the oath, the shvua, was against all types of food. Now it's interesting that what the Jewish people did was not what they were told to do. Rather, they accepted upon themselves, seemingly, an additional stringency. Because all the king told them to do was not to eat anything. However, the pasuk tells us, "Lo tam kol amlochem." No one even tasted it, right? You can taste something without swallowing it, right? But the Jewish people were so meticulous that they wanted to make sure that they wouldn't even taste it, because, you know, if you have something good in your mouth and it tastes really good, might swallow it. So therefore, the Jewish people were accepted upon themselves an additional chumrah, an additional stringency, not to even taste. Now the question is why? What's the big deal? So they have something to eat. Why would the king think that this is such an important thing to say at this point in time? And we discussed last week one of the possible approaches was because they were involved in fighting a war. And if perhaps they would stop at a prime grill or some five-star restaurant, you know, and they're going to end up having all these courses, they'll end up eating. They won't end up finishing their war. They'll go to sleep. They won't be able to finish the job. So the king said, I don't want you to sit down and have a meal. Rather, I want you just to continue to fight. I don't want you to eat anything. So that's one logical explanation, because he doesn't want them to divert their attention from the task at hand. Another approach is a very interesting way the Jewish people would fight. Jewish people would fight in a very unusual way. You'd think before a war, you would have a huge meal so that you have all of your energy, right? Maybe you'll have a power bar, right? You'll have one of those, like a Gatorade before you get into the battlefield. So you'll be able to be strong and be physically fit. However, we find in many places that not only did the Jewish people not have a huge meal before the fight, before war, they would fast. They would have a tinnitus. In fact, perhaps one of the errors that a lot of people have is the day before Purim. The day before Purim is called Tinnus Esther, right? The Fast of Esther. Now, most people think what's the idea of the Fast of Esther? So they incorrectly think it's because Esther told the Jewish people to fast for a few days because I can't go in front of the king, in front of Ahasuerus, without him summoning me, telling me to come. So let's fast for 3 days. So we fast to commemorate that event. It's not true. The reason why we fast on Tinnus Esther is because that day was a war. There was a war against the people in those days, right? Against the army of Ahasuerus. And we had to fight, and when we fight, the custom is to fast. And that's the reason why we also fast on Tinnus Esther, for that reason, to commemorate when the Jewish people fasted thousands of years ago and ultimately being victorious. And then the next day is Purim to celebrate the war. Right. That's it.
Is it for the two reasons or strictly for the war?
Strictly for the war.
Well, didn't Esther also fast?
When the days of the war, she fasted.
Well, the people fasted.
But that event, if you look in Megillas Esther, did not happen in the month of Adar. In fact, it happened like in the month of Nisan, toward that time, right? Because it was in Nisan that Haman cast the lots, and fortunately for us, we had 12 months, you know, to be able to figure out what to do. From Nisan until Adar is the entire year. And it was when Mordechai heard this, he went to Esther and said, you have to do something about it. That wasn't in Adar, it was in Nisan, which was almost 11 months before. So, but a lot of people make that mistake. But the point I'm trying to draw is that it's interesting how the Jewish philosophy is the opposite of what a person would think. Is that when it comes to a war, we do not have a huge meal, like Shaul said, don't eat. Not only that, we fast. Because the idea for the Jewish people to win a war is not based on our physical strength. It's based on our ability to ask God for compassion, and that by us fasting, hopefully that will cause the ability for us to do tshuva, to change ourselves, to become better people in some way, to be able to be self-reflecting upon our actions, and then in turn Hashem will assist us in the battle. So that's actually the reason, which is an incredible concept in Jewish philosophy, that we fast when we fight, as opposed to the entire world, where they would have the largest meal to be as strong as possible. We're going to end up seeing now, as we continue, that really this could have had a negative effect on our ability to fight, because we were very weak. And one of the people that was very weak was Yonasan. We're going to end up seeing that Yonasan perhaps does eat. Pasuk Chaf Hei continues. Pasuk tells us the Chol Aretz Ba'o Bayar. So all the nation, all the Jewish people were going into the Ya'ar, which is into a forest. Vayhi Devash Al Pnei Asad. And they saw, it says Devash, honey on, right, honey, usually when it says, right, when it says a land flowing of milk and honey, it's referring to the, from dates, that's what it's referring to. So they saw Devash, which could be from dates, could be honey. It was Al Pnei Asad, it was on the fields. In fact, it's brought down over here. There's a discussion. Rashi actually says that when it says Devash, it's referring to Devash Kanim Gadol B'aretz Yisrael. It's referring to reeds that are growing in the ground, which is translated as some type of sugar cane, which, as it's brought down at page 87 over here. So it's a question exactly what it was, but certainly it was something sweet. It was some, it was Candyland, if you will. It's the way Rashi says it. It's something which is in the, on the ground itself, growing from the ground. So it's sugar cane, or possibly it was, as it sounds, honey. But nonetheless, it was something sweet. And if a person is full, you have a nice huge dinner. Still, there's always room for dessert because for something sweet's nice. And if you're starving, certainly something sweet would also be even more tempting. So very much so. And that's exactly what. What will happen here? As we now continue in Pasuk of Vayabo El Hayar, so the nation went into this forest, Dehine Helech Davash, and there it was, they were able to come to this area where there was this honey. Let's translate it as Vein Masig Yado El Piv. But there was no person that stretched and put their hands into this honey and put into their mouth. Ki yari ha'am es ha'shvua. Because the Jewish people were very concerned of the words of the oath, and therefore they didn't eat this honey. So it's brought down over here on page 87 that the Rinas Yitzchak explains that not only did they not eat the honey, but it says they didn't even put it to their mouth, right? Just to, just for a little bit of sweetness on the tongue. That's not something they wanted to do either because of their fear of the Shavua. It wasn't enough that they didn't want to eat the honey. They didn't even want to put it to their mouths because they didn't want to violate the words of the king. Verse 27, Vayonason, however, there was a guy, his name was Yonason, who happened to be the king's child, Lo Shama Bahashbiya Aviv, Esa'am. He didn't hear this oath that was said by his father to the nation, because where was he? He was in the middle of the battle. He was the one who initiated this entire war, this entire upheaval. But Yishlach, so because he didn't hear about this, certainly if he would have heard about it, he would have listened to his father, who happened to also be someone you have to listen to because he's the king. However, he didn't hear this. But Yishlach es Kitzei HaMata, so he took his mata, he was, had a staff, a walking stick, so he took it, Asher B'yado, which of course he was holding in his hand, V'yitbol Osa, and he dipped it, V'yaris HaDvash, and he put it a little bit of this honey on his stick, V'yashev Yado es Piv, and he placed some of this honey into his mouth. And was it a, did it have a positive effect or a negative effect? The pasuk says, "Vatorarna enav." What does it mean? Something about his eyes. So if you see in the Masudah Sion, what does it mean, "Vatorna"? Because it's a Malushan or, aura. It gave his eyes light. He was all weak and dreary. You could see in his eyes how exhausted he was from the battle. It woke him up. It energized him. It gave him some vigor. So it obviously had a tremendous positive effect on Yonason. There was only one problem. He wasn't supposed to eat this honey. He was not supposed to do what he did, right? And if you see also the Mesudas David, and I apologize, not all this is underlined, but nonetheless, by Pasuk of Zion, the Mesudas David tells us when it says that his eyes became light, enlightened, more awake, clear, ki chashchu, because he was so weak, ba'avur haravon, because of his hunger. He was so starving, especially, not only was he hungry because he hadn't eaten for a few hours, but the energy level that a person has to use to, let's say, play basketball. You see that, you know, even the greatest basketball players have to take a break after 5 minutes. So you can imagine, this is a lot worse. This is your life. You know, you can be killed if you're not putting every ounce of energy into this battle. So he didn't eat anything. He was exhausted. He needed something to eat, something to drink. And here this honey helped him out. However, Pasuk of Ches tells us, Vayan ish me'am, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe of all people to have violated the words of the king was the king's son. So Vayan ish me'am. So the people from this nation responded, Vayomer, they said to him, they said to Yonason, What are you doing? Hashbeh hishbi avicha. As to Amimor, don't you know that there was a shvua, there was a swearing of your father that he made to the nation, and this is what your father said: Arur ha'ish asher yochel lechem hayom. Cursed is the person who eats bread today. And as we saw, doesn't mean just bread; it means eating anything. V'yoef ha'am. The truth is, the nation was weary. They were very exhausted. They might not have been very happy with this idea, but nonetheless, they did exactly this. They did not eat or even taste the honey or any food because the king told them not to. So even though I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I could also use some of that honey, we're not doing it because we're told not to. And it'll be a curse upon the person who does it, which may mean that person will die. So to Yonasan, it's a curse upon you that you did partake from this honey, and unfortunately for you, it's probably not going to look good for you either. You're also going to die. We'll see. In fact, if we look in the Radak, which is the third line from the bottom on page 86, when it says, V'yof ha'am, it's a little side note, the end of the verse, said that the nation were tired and weary. So the Radak says, V'lo avru al hashvua, as we just said, that even though they were exhausted and tired and weary, they did not violate the command. Even though they were tired and hungry. So therefore, you shouldn't have done this. You should do the same thing, Yonasan. You should not have eaten from this honey. Pasuk
of Tes. So they didn't realize that he didn't hear it?
We're going to see that. Yeah, this is going to be. They're going to need to have to clarify whether or not Yonasan knew this at all. But apparently, they thought he was just violating his father's command, which he couldn't believe. Okay. Vayomer Yonasan. Well, they'll end up learning that Yonasan wasn't there and that he was really b'shogeg. It was done inadvertently. Vayomer Yonasan. So Yonasan turned back to them, and instead of saying, you know, I apologize, I didn't know, no one told me, or, you know, I made a mistake, listen to how he responds. He says, Achar Avi Es Haaretz. He said, my father has caused Achar, which means it's causing distress, as it said here. But Rashi says, Bilbul Es Daitam. It caused their minds to be all mixed up and unable to think properly, right? Kimai machurim, just like water, where you have a little sediments, let's say dirt or mud on the very bottom of a cup of water. So if you stir up this cup, all the dirt makes it all muddy waters. So that's what he was doing as well. He's not making matters better. I can't believe my father would have said such a thing. Why would he tell people not to eat? Ra'una, see, ki or enai, look at my eyes now. I was exhausted before, but look at my eyes now. I'm wide awake. I'm ready to fight. Ki ta'amti ma'at tavash hazeh, because I tasted a little bit of this honey. Right now, what did I do wrong? I just had a little bit of food, and now I'm ready to go back and give it my all. If I didn't eat this honey, what was my father's whole logic? My father's logic is, if you have a meal, you're not going to be able to be successful in fighting this war. Look at this army. They can't fight, so exhausted. If they eat a little bit now, that's how they'll be able to fight this war. That's how they'll be able to be successful in defeating the Plishtim. Af, also, kilu ochel ochel hayom ha'am, says Pasuk Lamed. Also, if it were not that this nation should have been eating today, then what would happen? Mishlo oiva vasher matzah. Then what will certainly happen is that all they should be able to eat the shalal, the spoils, the foods that they were able to collect that they found from their enemies. Kiyata, because now lo rav samaka b'plishtim. Is it not that we'll be able to give the plishtim a true zetz, a greater hit? That certainly would be the case. That's a rhetorical question. He's not asking for their response. He was saying that it makes no sense what my father instituted. Because if it was so that people would eat the food that they found in the Plishtim camps and lying around, a little bit of honey or a little bit of food, then we'd be able to be much stronger soldiers. Fine. So that's what Yonasan said. And of course, it's questionable How could Yonasan have said such a thing? It sounds like he's going against the words of his father. Why was he saying this? So some people explain that what he was doing, he was not necessarily disagreeing with this Shvua. He wouldn't do that because he's not a king. He can't go against the king's words, even if it's his father's. But he was saying that what we're doing today is not necessarily a precedent that we need to set for ourselves for future battles. Just because we're not eating today does not mean that that's something we should always do. Because remember today, look how weak we are. So next time, when a suggestion is, oh, maybe we shouldn't eat, maybe we should fast, that's not going to be something helpful. Therefore, perhaps in the future, remember that this is something which we should protest, we should not agree to. That's how some explain.
And it so clearly says that Ochar Abi Esa'aretz, I mean, it's clear that he's
He's disagreeing certainly about this decree, but he's not saying, guys, forget about him, let's just eat. He's certainly saying that we have to follow it, but he's saying, let's bear this in mind next time my father or someone else attempts to make such a requirement in battle, remember this day. Right? But it is questionable what right he had to speak so harshly against his father, and also, more importantly, a king. But that's the question. Yes?
Doesn't it also show his inability to trust in Hashem that he will help him, rather than himself? That's where his failure is.
Right. That's what it sounds like, because the whole idea of fasting is, it's not our physical strength.
That's right.
That's what it sounds like, but it's an incredible statement because of this is the same person who ran into the to this huge battlefield with just one other guy.
But there's another whole concept that we believe in, that God helps those who make a move to help themselves.
Right.
You don't rely totally on God.
Right.
No, but you did not follow the concept of why you should
be peace. That was his father that said.
Yeah, of course, but I know that. Yeah. But it's not that he only trusted on his own strength.
Right.
In other words, he trusted on his own.
That's all.
Regina,
that's not so.
No.
I mean,
but he missed that faith. In my opinion, I don't know.
It could be on, you could say on this time he made a mistake, or certainly another possibility is that on one level you have to have a moon, you have to have faith, but you also have to put in your efforts, your hishtadlut. And the question is, where is that balance? Where are you supposed to, at what extent? So it's a whole question exactly, you know, because if a person has so much faith.
I don't know if it's relevant.
Yeah.
Like on Yom Kippur, if someone is fainting, they could take like a teaspoon of dissolved it in their cheeks and to help them to whatever, and it's still considered fasting, so.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's what it's interesting over here is, at the end of the, we're up to Pasuk Lamed Aleph, but on the end of verse 30, Pasuk Lamed, all he says is Ki ta'amti ma'at dvash. It says, I tasted a little honey. It sounds like he didn't eat it. It sounds like he didn't even do anything against what Shaul said. Shaul said you can't eat, and all what Yonasan said is Ki ta'amti, which sounds like I tasted a little of honey. It doesn't sound like he ate it, which. That's what it sounds like. So the question is, did he even violate anything?
All
right.
Well, it said all he did was dip his
right, and he.
It sounded like he was making a meal out of it.
Right. But it's interesting. The language that he chose is kitamti, because I tasted it, which doesn't sound like he even swallowed it. Well, Shaul said, "Don't eat bread," which don't eat anything. And then it said, and the Jewish, going back to Pasuk Chav Dalet, it says, "V'lo tam kol amlochem." They didn't taste it, which some explain right. They went above and beyond the requirements. So, okay, fine. So that's fine. That's what happened. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, second to last line, page 86. V'yakum yom ha'huba plishtim, that the Jewish people smote on this day the plishtim, mamichmash ayalona, from this place Michmash, which is where they were initially encamped, to this other place Ayalona, v'yoav ha'am ma'od. Here we throw an extra word. They were extremely exhausted. They were really, really tired. V'yada'am And apparently that's what they did. That was their day, and they were staring at their watch, like maybe on Yom Kippur. Oh, it's the nighttime, we can finally eat. But Yat El Hashalal, so the Jewish people, they went down and they took among their spoils that which they were able to take from the Plishtim. Vayiklu Son Ubakar, they took sheep, cattle, Uvnei Bakar, which is interesting, it says the children of cattle. It says Bakar, Uvnei Bakar. We'll see what the significance of that is. V'yishkatu Artsa, and they slaughtered these animals so that they can eat, because they were starving. Artsa, literally on the ground, page 88, it says V'yochal Ha'am Al Hadam. And the Jewish people, when they ate literally on the blood, or it's translated here as the people ate the blood. Sounds like they ate blood. Right. Well, this many commentators grapple over what exactly does it mean that v'yochal al hadam. What does it mean they ate? The easiest translation is the way that it's done here is that they ate blood, but that's not what it says. It says al hadam. They ate on the blood. Now, what exactly does that mean? So we're going to see a few explanations. We start up with Rashi, which is on the previous page, 86. You see, Rashi tells us a couple of answers, and then we'll move on to other commentators. Rashi, which is on the bottom of page 86, again, I apologize, it's not underlined, but nonetheless, it's the last Rashi, which says, Sonu Bakar, Uvnei Bakar. What does it mean, cattle and the children of cattle? What? Well, of course, B'nai Bakar is also Bakar. It's also cattle. So why does it have to say young cattle? So says Rashi, Omrani, this is what I say. Zeh oso v'espino lo sishchatu. The next verse, next two words, which is not here, is B'yom Echad. There's a prohibition in Leviticus that a person is not allowed to slaughter the mother and its young on the same day, for whatever reason, perhaps to show certain levels of compassion. But nonetheless, that's an obligation, that's a Torah prohibition, that when you shecht, you have to know who the mother is and who the children are, whatever. You have to know because you can't slaughter both of them on the same day. So it says, this is what we say is their sin. What is their mistake that they made? The Jewish people were so hungry that they forgot about halacha. They forgot about the Jewish laws. And that's why the critical reading that Rashi has of this pasuk is Bakar B'nai Bakar. They took cattle and the children of cattle. Why does that have to say B'nai Bakar? What's the difference? So perhaps, as Rashi is saying, is the pasuk is alluding to this idea that they made a mistake, that they took Oso Vespino, they slaughtered the mother and its young on the same day, which is a Torah prohibition.
Shaul didn't give them permission to start eating, did they?
Right, we're going to end up seeing in a few moments, Shaul is going to come in and say, don't do this, you shouldn't be doing this, and he teaches them the proper ways of slaughtering.
No, but isn't this part of the original prohibition to eat? They originally said not to eat. We don't see.
Yeah, but they were hooked up with the war.
It implies, the previous Pasuk Laman Aleph implies that they fought, this is how they fought the war, this is how what their accomplishments were, day is over, now it's the night time, they can eat, but they were so hungry, B'yof Ha'amod, which leads to the mistake that they made, because they were so hungry, they couldn't think properly what they normally would, they weren't in the rational thinking processes. Rabbe Seinu Omru, however, it's brought down in Rashi's second explanation, brought down by our sages, B'shchitas Kachim, that when they weren't slaughtering for their own sake, they were slaughtering kachim, animals which were sanctified, which were designated as karbanos. Shahayim makdim and osam shlomim, that they brought peace offerings, and peace offerings, part of it is consumed on the altar, part of it is eaten by the owners. But the problem is that there is a procedure. The ochlim lifnei zrikas dam. One of the steps is you're supposed to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, on the altar, and they ate their part before the sprinkling of the blood. How do we see that in the pasuk? Because the pasuk says that they ate al hadam, which means by the blood, which means before, right by the blood. The blood wasn't supposed to be by them. It was supposed to have been over there, sprinkled. And they ate before the process was completed, and that was their mistake. That's another approach. If we If we look on the next page, on page 88, we see the opinion of the Radak, which is the very first line of the Radak on page 88. V'yochol ha'am, it says that the nation ate, and this is where it says, this is the key, next three key words here, is perush be'erev ochlu. They didn't eat during the day because they weren't allowed to. Right? That they're busy preaching to Yonasan, oh, you don't eat any honey, and all of a sudden they're having this huge barbecue over here. So the Radak starts off saying, as we already said, is this was certainly at night already. They were allowed to eat. The question is, what they were doing in the preparation for their food was wrong. So we saw two explanations by Rashi. Either that their mistake was that they slaughtered the mother and its young on the same day. Perhaps that the bringing karbanos, sacrifices, they ate before the sprinkling of the blood. The Radak here of it says, second line, Perusho, what does it mean, al hadam, that they ate on the blood? On the blood, what does that mean? Lefi, because shahayu machinim habasar b'chipazon, they prepared the meat quickly, kihayu ravim, because they were so hungry. Hayu shochtim, so what did they do? Because they were so hungry, they slaughtered their animals right then and there. Hayu shochtim b'aretz, and the animals were lying on the ground. V'lo haya hadam nagar mimsa yafa, v'haya nivla b'basar. Because their animals were lying on the ground when they were slaughtered, what ends up happening, and I don't know if this is true scientifically or however you want to figure this out, but generally when an animal is slaughtered, we use the laws of gravity. That when an animal is slaughtered on a higher place, the blood pours forth and drips down because you're not allowed to eat blood. But if you slaughter the animal and it's lying on the ground when you slaughter it and it's lying in a pool of blood, it ends up going back or being absorbing back into the flesh. Okay, because it never had the opportunity for it to flow out. Lafikach siva shaul. That's the reason why we're going to see in the next pasuk that Shaul made a commandment ligo evan gadola, that they had to literally roll or bring this huge rock. What was the purpose of this rock, according to the Radak? He says velishko dolel, that you're supposed to slaughter on this rock. Don't slaughter on the ground. Slaughter up here on this huge rock. Why? Who cares if it's a rock? Exactly. Kadesha he hadam nargar, because it'll be on a higher place. It'll flow. Matim sahetev, and it'll be found and drawn out properly. V'ein zeh perush lo sochel al hadam. So, and is this not the explanation of a person should not eat al hadam? That's perhaps what it means over here as well. That a person not to eat blood, because this is the fact that what they did. They ate blood because of the way that they situated the animals on the ground. Therefore, we're going to see Shaul says put it on top of a higher place on a rock, so this way the blood will flow out. Okay.
But is it seen as a
yeah, they made a mistake. This we're going to. It doesn't say that they sinned, but we're going to see right now that Shaul. Well, I think that's the reason why the previous pasuk says, "V'yoav ha'am ma'od." They were extremely tired, so they weren't thinking like they normally would. So you can't hold them accountable like if they were healthy and perfectly fine.
But didn't they know how to chef?
It's possible they did know, typically, but under these circumstances, they just did it because they were so hungry, they couldn't wait. Right, and that's what he's going to do over here. One of them is, as we just saw in the Radak, he's going to order this large rock, and we're going to now see the interesting language in the next pasuk that sounds like they really did make a mistake. The Agidu Lashol Lamor, and it was said over to Shaul saying, Hine ha'am chotim la'Hashem. The Jewish people are sinners to God. Lechol ha'odam. Because they ate blood. Whatever that means. Just off their explanations. But Yomer, so Shaul, when he heard these words, that they were sinning in some way, he said, Begadtem golu elai hayom evan gadola. Begadtem, the Mitzudah Sion says, Pishatem. You were pesheya, you were negligent, you made a mistake, you were sinful. Go and take today an evan gadola, a big rock. So that's exactly what was said over here. Take this.
What is the word begatem?
The Masuda Sion over here, the first line on the first line on the Masuda Sion says Peshatem. Peshaya is like person.
Yes.
There is.
What's the difference between a faith and a pesha? There must be a different level.
There is. There is. We'll have to save that for next next Elul. Next Shabbos Shuva Drasha. Give me some time to look up the answer, you know. Maybe, I don't know. There are differences. So it's negligent, different levels of negligence. Okay. But nonetheless, that's how this is assumed.
It's already softened the word chet. It's already softened it. So there probably is something to the way they exercise their thinking.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Now, Shoal's not saying this. They're saying.
Yeah, who is Vayagidu? Who are these people?
Yeah, who's, you know, when they ever say, they say, who's they? Who are these they? Where are these people? Right. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say who it was, but yeah, it is very vague. I don't know. But nonetheless, he realized they made some type of mistake, whatever level that mistake was. And he said, take this rock. So now we understand what's the big deal of a rock. So we already know the Radak told us that that's the slaughter on this place. That's one explanation. All right. But if you see the Masudas David says a different reason than the Radak. He says the significance of this Evan Gadol, of this big rock, is La Sosa Bama. To make an altar, that this rock will become an altar, to sprinkle the blood. Because according to Rashi, as we saw, the issue was that they didn't sprinkle the blood. So therefore, we need to create an altar for these people that they should be able to finish the process of the sprinkling of the blood. So that's what he was told to do.
People said they didn't sprinkle the blood. That was
right.
Not that the blood wasn't.
Right, that's how the Masudas David says it, which the previous Masudas David brings that as well. I didn't read that because that's Rashi said the same thing. That was the second explanation of Rashi. But according to Masudas David, he felt the issue was the sprinkling of the blood was the issue. So the rock was an altar for them to sprinkle the blood onto it, and therefore now they can eat their meat. Pasuk Lamed Daled. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Daled says, V'yomer Shaul. So Shaul says, Putsu ba'am v'yamartem lahem hagishu elai. She says to these people, gather these people, right? Let these people come and bring them close to me. And they should bring to me each shoro, each person their animal, an ox, or whatever animal they want to slaughter. These siehu, their sheep, ushchatem bozeh, and slaughter it bozeh, in this manner. Which means that Shaul wants to teach them the laws of okay. V'yachaltem, they'll eat. V'lo sechatu l'Hashem, they won't sin. L'echol el hadam, to eat with blood. I'm going to teach them the proper way of doing it, so they're not going to eat improperly. V'yagishu kol am isharo biyado halayel v'yishchatu sham, and all the people came close with their animals, and he slaughtered their animals. Fine. But even Shaul Mizbeach Hashem, Shaul built a Mizbeach, which how the Masudas David explains that that's what the rock was this altar. Also, Hecha lived those Mizbeach Hashem. He was the first person to begin building an altar to Hashem. And even though the Radak tells us that, of course, there are other people that built altars such as, it brings us down, which is four lines from the bottom of the Radak. It says, "V'lokama mizbechot banu rishon." Many people were there. Were people Noach banu mizbech after he left the ark after the flood. Avraham banu mizbech, Yitzchak banu mizbech, Yaakov banu mizbech. I'm just reading what the Radak says. Moshe banu mizbech, Yeshua banu mizbech. V'at amarta oso heichel libnos mizbech. He was the first one to build an altar. So many people preceded him. So the Radak says, it means Omer Rebbe Yudin Hechel B'Malachim. He was the first king to build an altar. He also happened to be the first king. Right. But so he was the first king to build an altar. Right. Which, obviously, that's what it means. Whatever that, there's some significance in that. Obviously, a king is unique in his stature to be the person to lower himself, which is the hardest thing, who is the most prominent person ever to exist as a king on earth. For him to build an altar is something which is special. But nonetheless, this is what was done, this is what was built. The question over here is, as we'll conclude with, it says, Shchatem bozeh, I want you to slaughter this animal bozeh in this particular manner. What exactly does it mean, bozeh, in this? So it's an interesting interesting halacha for anyone who, whenever you go to a slaughterhouse, you'll see these knives, these razor sharp knives that are used. The question is, how big are they supposed to be? Like a machete, a little one? Like how big is it supposed to be? There must be a measurement. What is the measurement? So it's brought down in the Bamidbar Rabbah. It says Shehir lehem v'limidosam, that Shaul was teaching them the proper methods of shear sakin shel shchita, how big the knife should be. How do we see anywhere in this pasuk that he teaches them how big the knife should be? He says, do you know how big the knife should be? Shnei bas yuddal etzba'ot. It needs to be the measurement of 14 fingers, the length of 14 fingers, right? Which, well, I don't know. That I don't know. But it says 14 fingers of the average, probably an average adult.
Yeah, well, the end of the letter was 4 fingers.
Ah, very good. So Vivian got it. It says, how did he see this? Because if you look at the gematria, what's the numerical value? When he said, Ushchatem slaughter bazeh, with this, Bez, Zion, Hey. Bez is 2, Zion is another 7, which equals 9, and then the Hey is 14. So he says that this is the source. It's a slaughter in this particular manner, and therefore they did exactly that. But in conclusion, we see the tremendous greatness of and respect that they showed to this king, that even though they were starving, they were weary, and most people would say, hey, just ignore him, let's just eat, forget about it. You know, like we have a big kiddush, to wait for 30 seconds for someone to make kiddush is hard enough. You're starving to death, you know, a guy's dying, they just had a war. Nonetheless, not only were they willing to do whatever Shaul said, but now it's time for him to give a little lesson, a little story, a little procedures of exactly how to perform the slaughtering. No one said boo, everyone did exactly as he told them to do, and therefore again it shows the greatness of the respect of the Jewish people for their king, for the Melech, for Shaul. Stop here.
I guess they had a little bit. That